What did I do?
House Committee on Judiciary, come to order today is May 25th, 2017. Open a public hearing on Senate Bill 357A.
Mr. Chair and members of the committee, Senate Bill 357A modifies the crime of interfering with public transportation. The bill reduces the penalty from a Class A misdemeanor to a Class C misdemeanor for trespassing on a public transit vehicle or a public transit station, unless the defendant has three or more prior convictions for that conduct, in which case Senate Bill 357A retains the Class A misdemeanor penalty. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Kimberly McCullough and Mary Selk can come up as well, and Representative Greeno, please go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm State Representative Mitch Greenock, House District 33.
It could happen.
And Senator Fredericks apologized that he hoped to be here, but something's arrived that made it not possible. We submitted his testimony for the public record. The bill is simple. There are feelings in some communities in the metro area that being poor, black, or mentally ill is a on the platform of, say, a TriMet train, is the equivalent of interfering with public transit. And a study by Portland State University that was commissioned by TriMet indicated that the minority population was inordinarily subject to interfering with public transit. Interfering with public transit in its current version is a Class A misdemeanor. And it usually is given to a fare evader or somebody who's on the platform who's been restricted from being on the platform before. But the equivalent penalty for a trespass in some other place would be a C felony. What this bill...
Misdemeanor.
C misdemeanor.
I mean, I'm sorry, a Class C misdemeanor. And what this bill does is make interfering with public transit for the first three times at least that one is convicted of interfering with public transit, a C misdemeanor as well. We've had a prior bill that's gone through the body that moves a lot of the regulations from interfering with public transit over to the TriMet rather than doing through the county courts. I think this is just a companion that would be useful to pass for us, and I ask that we move it forward.
Okay, thank you.
Chair Barker, members of the committee, my name is Kimberly McCullough. I'm here on behalf of the ACLU of Oregon, and we fully support this bill. We have for some time now had concern about transit enforcement and policies. I mean, just as an example of that, if you get a parking ticket downtown Portland, I don't know if this was discussed in this committee because we've been back and forth with the Senate committee with the other bill, but if you get a ticket for parking without paying your parking fare downtown Portland, it's a $40 ticket. If you don't pay for your bus fare, it's $150, right? So there are, you know, and then if you trespass, it's a Class B or a Class C misdemeanor. If it's on transit or it's on a transit station, it's a Class A misdemeanor. So we're just concerned generally about a disproportion of the penalty for behavior that is most likely and most often driven by poverty, by people simply not having enough money to ride the max. They got to get to their job. They got to get to their child care. And then they're facing these really, really severe penalties. We're not saying that there shouldn't be penalties or that people shouldn't be held accountable for not paying when they're supposed to pay, but that it should be proportional. As Representative Greenlink mentioned, there have also been shown racial disparities in these issues, and so we have concerns about that. I would say that just in general, the IPT, the Interfering with Public Transit statute, we feel is the entire statute is duplicative, but this doesn't address the entire statute, although we would like to do that at some point. It just narrows down on this fare evasion on people who haven't paid the fare, and as Representative Greenlink said, just for the first two times. So we really see this as part of a whole package. Moving into an administrative process like we did in 2777 is a really great piece of it. But again, we really see these two as meshing together and just creating a fairer system. So thank you.
I think it's the first three times.
I think so.
Yeah. Or the first three times, yeah. Chair Barker, members of the committee, my name is Mary Sell. I'm here on behalf of the Oregon Criminal Defense Lawyers Association. I really just want to echo everything the representative said and also that Kimberly McCullough with ACLU said. OCDLA is strongly in support of this bill. This conversation has been ongoing for multiple years. I do want to draw your attention to a letter that Erica Rothman, she's a former Metropolitan Public Defender attorney who had been practicing there back, I think, 2013-2014 time period. At that time, she had brought this issue up to the speaker, and the issue at that time, her feelings based on her cases, what she was seeing, were ultimately found to be correct. Her conclusions were ultimately found to be correct in the study that was done or commissioned by TriMet. And so we support this bill. We think that it's going to positively impact our communities. It's going to positively impact the clients that OCDLA's practitioners deal with every single day. And so we strongly support it. We hope that you do too. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions for Representative Post?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just not any particular person, but every mention as this bill has gone forward is TriMet, Max, et cetera, et cetera. So, of course, my concern is what about the rest of the state of Oregon? And yes, you could fit almost any place in Oregon in here. I almost feel like this is something that should have probably been brought before the Portland City Council and talked to them about that. Perhaps the Lane County, because I believe there's only four transit districts in the state.
Mr. Chair, I believe it relates to all the transit districts.
Yeah, it does.
Right, but I think there's only four in the state.
Those are the four that it relates to.
Or something.
Okay.
There's more than that, but I don't know how many.
The mass transit districts, I think.
Okay, so that was my only thing. It just feels like.
Representative Barker, if you wouldn't mind if I respond to Representative Post, I totally get where you're coming from, and I think that our conversations are around TriMet because that's an area where this has been identified as a current problem, but it would still be the same problem if someone was charged with this crime in one of these other transit districts, right? And so we may have a lot more experience with what's going on in Portland, but we think that this is an excessive penalty to have on the books for the entire state. So we think that it should be reduced across the state.
The city council, fortunately, is unable to change state law.
Yeah.
Right. I get that.
Yeah. Okay.
Mr. Chair, if I may add, Senator Frederick's testimony points out that the DAs of Multnomah, Washington, and Clackamas County are in support of moving the penalty to a Class C.
Yeah. Thank you.
Of course. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just to respond to my colleague. The one thing that's different is that it's harder to evade a fare in any of the other transit systems because they don't have trains. Pretty much everybody else you have to pay when you board. Right. So yeah, it'll feel like it's that, but I suppose there's the possibility that somebody could evade a fare getting onto a bus somewhere else.
And, Chair Barker, may I speak on that point as well? Representative Post, one other kind of point that I want to bring up is even though it may appear that it's kind of limited to this kind of metropolitan area, the problem has been pretty significant, even in this, you know, I guess it could be called a more limited area. It's been pretty significant, and it's been affecting people in significant ways. And so I think that, from our perspective, supports the passage. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Okay. Thank you very much. Close the public hearing, open a work session on Senate Bill 357A.
Mr. Chair, move Senate Bill 357A to the floor with the due pass recommendation.
Representative Williamson moves House Bill 357A to the floor with the due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Yes, Representative.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just have to use this shameless opportunity to get a little plug in here. I actually appreciate opportunities to vote on bills that are metro-centric. And I'll tell you why, because when I bring something that's very focused on rural Oregon, it gives me the opportunity to stand up and say, I allowed a different area of the mind to do business their way. Please allow us to do business our way. And I got to tell you, I think I have maybe 6 buses in my district, very small, sparse lines, and I don't have a single parking meter in my district. But I appreciate the opportunity to support the rest of the state doing business their way, so I can come around and say, please support us doing business our way.
You just sent some money in lieu of parking meters.
Just don't.
Okay, we have a motion before us. Are there any objections to the motion? Hearing none, so ordered. And Representative Greenlick, would you like to carry that?
I'd like to. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Open a public hearing on Senate Bill 961A.
Mr. Chair and members of the committee, Senate Bill 961A authorizes a defendant to enter a DUII diversion 14 days after the defendant's attorney receives laboratory notes and test results from a urine or blood analysis if the defendant is charged with being under the influence of a controlled substance or an inhalant and did not exceed a blood alcohol content level of 0.08. Yeah. There is a -A3 amendment on OLIS. The amendment accounts for defendants who are unrepresented, and it begins the 14-day clock on the date the prosecuting attorney provides laboratory test results. With the -A3 amendment, Senate Bill 961 has no revenue impact and a minimal fiscal impact.
Thank you. Mary Sell and Tim Colahan.
Tim, I think you said that I get to go first.
I do.
Okay. Chair Barker, members of the committee, Mary Sell here on behalf of the Oregon Criminal Defense Lawyers Association. I am testifying in support of 961, the new amendment, and I believe that's the A3. Is that correct?
Correct.
So we are in support of this, and we were in support of the original simply because this is kind of filling a gap in the law. Currently, in situations where a person is being accused of a DUII, under the current statute, they have the ability to enter a diversionary program within 30 days. In certain cases, specifically the cases where it's not only alleged that they're under the influence of possibly alcohol, there's an allegation of being under the influence of a controlled substance or an inhalant. In those specific cases, lab test results usually that are sent to the crime lab take a good amount of time to get back to not just the defense, but to the prosecutor's office. It takes a good amount of time to get there, and then they have to ship it over to us. In certain cases where there's either no alcohol in the system, but there is law enforcement believing that controlled substance is at issue, a urinalysis or a blood draw is going to be taken. Those results really do matter for clients to know whether or not diversion makes sense for them. I think that there may be an argument that this might undercut them taking responsibility, but the idea is if someone is only taking medications that they normally take and don't believe that they're under the influence of alcohol or aren't sure whether something would be considered a controlled substance, they're not going to know until they sit down with their attorney and look at the actual UA. And so we really support this law. We think it makes so much sense in those circumstances to give just a little bit extra time so that the crime lab can do their job. The prosecutor can send the information over to the defense attorney. The defense attorney can speak to the client. This amendment specifically says that once the 14 days from the day that the prosecutor sends the information over to the defense attorney, the defense then would have that extra 14 days to file in addition to the 30 days. We really think that it makes sense for them to have the extra time. We appreciate that and we support that. There is one kind of, not really a concern, but something that we were talking about where if it doesn't work out, we might come back, and we think that the language probably should work. But we just want to make sure that when the prosecutor's office is sending over this actual piece of discovery, what we call discovery, the document, we want to make sure that there's maybe a date on it, or a bait stamp or something that says when it was sent, because the statute contemplates 14 days from that date. So we just want to make sure that we know what date it was sent. I think it's going to be a training issue for the prosecutor's office, and so they'll probably have to make sure that when that specific piece of discovery is being sent over, it's dated. It sounds like a little issue, but it could end up being a problem if no one knows. So that's really my testimony. We're in support. We think that this makes sense. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Chair Barker, members of the committee, Tim Colahan, Executive Director for the District Attorneys Association. To be candid, district attorneys aren't wild with the change of this policy simply because it does fly in the face, in our opinion, somewhat to an early recognition of having a alcohol or drug responsibility problem and taking responsibility for that. However, if this policy change is going to occur, it's absolutely necessary that the A3 amendments be moved into the bill in order for it to work properly. The 14-day period that Ms. Sell just talked about, the reason why that may be somewhat of an issue is just district attorney's office across the state may have different practices on how discovery is provided and how that is date stamped or documented, and I'm sure we can work that out.
Okay, great. Any questions? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Close the public hearing on the work session on Senate Bill 691A. I'm sorry, 961A. Did I say
Mr.
That?
Chair, I move the A3 amendment into Senate Bill 961A.
Representative Williamson moves the dash 3 amendments into Senate Bill 961A. Dixon, dyslexic here. Is there any discussion? Are there any objections? Seeing none, so ordered.
Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 961A as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Williamson moves Senate Bill 961A as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Are there any objections? Seeing none, so ordered. Representative Gorsuch will carry the bill. Open a work session on Senate Bill 117A. Oh, in a second here. Sorry, I'm jumping the gun. Sorry.
Thank you, Chair Barker, members of the committee. You previously heard Senate Bill 117A on May 16th. It addresses several towing provisions. We now have the dash A6 amendment, which makes a minor tweak by allowing towers to request DMV information from other agencies that have that information. The A6 has a minimal fiscal impact and a minimal revenue impact.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair, I move the A6 amendment into Senate Bill 117A.
Representative Williamson moves the A6 amendment into Senate Bill 117A. Is there any discussion? Any objections? Seeing none, so ordered.
Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 117A as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Williamson moves Senate Bill 117A as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Are there any objections? Seeing none, so ordered. And do we have a carrier? Somebody came to the side? Okay.
DOJ.
We'll have this DOJ is the bunker. One about, Representative Post will carry.
This is the one about towers, right?
Yeah.
Towers,
yeah.
Yeah.
Towers, right? Yeah, towers. Yeah.
This was about towers?
Yeah. Towers.
Open a work session on Senate Bill 241A.
Thank you, Chair Barker. Members of the committee, you previously heard Senate Bill 241A on May 10th. It creates a Bill of Rights for Children of Incarcerated Parents. You now have the dash A3 amendment, which specifies that the use of this Bill of Rights is for guiding principles for policy and procedure decisions. The A3 amendment has a minimal fiscal and no revenue impact.
A3.
Mr. Chair, I move the A3 amendments into Senate Bill 241A.
Representative Williamson moves the A3 amendments into Senate Bill 241A. Is there any discussion? Are there any objections? Seeing none, so ordered.
Chair, I move Senate Bill 241A as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Williamson moves Senate Bill 241A as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Are there any objections? Seeing none, so ordered. And Representative Sanchez, if you'd be our carrier, please.
257.
The next item on the agenda is Senate Bill 257. We don't have the paperwork on that, so it will be rolled over till Tuesday the 30th. Open a work session on Senate Bill 327A.
Thank you, Chair Barker. Members of the committee, you previously heard Senate Bill 327A on May 9th. It deals with recreational immunity for employers and employees and agents of landowners. There are no amendments, and it has an indeterminate fiscal impact and a minimal revenue impact.
Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 327A to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Williamson moves Senate Bill 327A to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Are there any objections? Seeing none, so ordered. I'll carry that one. Open a work session on Senate Bill 488A.
Thank you, Chair Barker, members of the committee. This is our second towing bill. You previously heard Senate Bill 488A on May 16th. It deals with towing expenses for victims of car theft. There is now the Dash A3 amendment, which allows a tower to recover expenses from the victim when there is applicable insurance coverage, or I should say from the victim's insurance. Not from the victim directly. It also adds hearing aids to the definition of personal property of an emergency nature that a person can recover from their vehicle when it is towed. The A3 amendment has no revenue impact and has a minimal fiscal impact.
Mr. Chair, I move the A3 amendment into Senate Bill 488A.
Representative Williamson moves the A3 amendments into Senate Bill 488A. Is there any discussion?
Well, Mr. Chair, I'd like to put on the record, I think that the owner of the car ought to be able to get all their possessions out of the car rather than just emergency possessions. And while adding hearing aid, I think it's a great addition because that's certainly an emergency, but I think for future reference, I'd suggest we look at that again.
Thank you, Representative Greenlick. And Representative Greenlick, I spoke with the tow people, and they'd worked a long time on this as a group getting together to come up with something. And so at this time, I plan to move it as is.
I agree with you
that it would be more interesting to take a look at a broader property group there. Is there any further discussion on the amendment? Are there any objections to the A3 amendments? Seeing none, so ordered.
Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 488A as amended to the floor with the due pass recommendation.
Representative Williamson moves Senate Bill 488A as amended to the floor with the due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Are there any objections? Seeing none, and Representative Olson, please, will be our carrier. Open a work session on Senate Bill 751A.
Thank you, Chair Barker. Members of the committee, you previously heard Senate Bill 751A on May 4th. It prohibits marriage application forms from requiring the address of the religious organization or congregation authorized to solemnize the marriage. There are no amendments, there is no revenue impact, and there is no fiscal impact.
Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 751A to the floor with the due pass recommendation.
Representative Williamson moves Senate Bill 751A to the floor with the due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Representative Post.
Not much to discuss, Mr. Chair, other than I just want to stay consistent with my stances on things, so I'm going to be a no.
Okay, thank you.
And I will be a no, too, as well.
Okay. Any further discussion? Call the roll, please.
Representative Gorsuch?
Yes.
Representative Greenlee?
Yes.
Representative Leininger?
Yes.
Representative Post?
No.
Representative Sanchez?
Yes.
Representative Springer?
Yes.
Representative Stark?
Yes.
Representative Bile?
Yes.
Vice Chair Olson?
No.
Vice Chair Williamson?
Yes.
Chair Barker?
Yes. Motion carries.
Thank you.
And Representative Williamson will be our carrier on that. Looks like we made it in time to get back to the floor today. Committee, thank you, committee. We stand adjourned.
Yeah. 2:30.
Yeah.
Oh, you crazy.
Yeah, you did good, man. That was.
Yeah.
Oh, you crazy.
Yeah, you did good, man. That was.